the Koshcast. It was an action-packed Saturday in the Premier League, as Pep City play football from another planet and leave Manchester United very much like Saturn, with rings run around them, despite Claudio Bravo's best attempts to ruin everything. Elsewhere, Watford stage a comeback as big as Troy Deeney, while Payet gives everyone a massive Rabona. Sturridge encourages for Liverpool as they basically whip out their dilly-dongs against Leicester, and Arsenal and Spurs win in contrasting styles. Meanwhile, Bournemouth do humanity a favour by edging Tony Pulis towards unemployment. There's also a roundup of some of the weekend's top games from around Europe, including Juventus, PSG, which if you don't know stands for probably sacking the gaffer, and Barcelona, who lose control of Alves for the first time since Danny requested to leave in the summer. The quiz, Move of the Week, and Toronto FC make us whole. Forward march. Hello and welcome to episode 5, season 4 of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and with me, Roche Rana on my left.
Well, hello, Alex.
Hello. Is that your BBC radio voice?
Quite, yes, yeah.
Very nice. And Bernie Uche on my right.
Howdy. I tried my best Fox News voice. I don't know if that worked or not.
I was just thinking, that's not a radio station I'm ever going to listen to.
Let's hear Mahanad's voice. Hey, Mahanad, how's it going?
Yeah, he's not here.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Get out right here.
Mahanad is sweating his things off in Las Vegas.
At least he's in Vegas.
True.
But he has to complain about the fact that he's in Vegas anyway.
Well, the funny thing is, he got there and he texts us. He's like, guys, I'm in Vegas. It's like 42 degrees. It's unbearable. And what occurred to me is like, that sounds awful, but that's probably why everyone in Vegas stays inside all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it is the desert.
Do they stay inside?
Yeah, like in the casino, you know?
Oh, yeah. So that's why they're gambling and they're partying and the joints where women are scantily clad.
Right. Just air conditioning.
Okay. Yeah. So like the wags, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys are well?
Very well.
Quite, yes.
Are you feeling knowledgeable?
Somewhat.
I think I have to be at this point.
Well, you need to be because you need points. But
yeah.
Bernie, Roche is hosting the quiz this week. I don't know what we're in for, but let's find out.
Yeah, it's going to be an easy one for you guys. Hello and welcome to this edition of our quiz on the Kosh blog. Our contestants today are Alex and Bernie. Alex, can you make a noise?
It didn't work.
Easy.
There we go. Go. Stealing your noise.
There you go.
All right, and Bernie. Very good.
I believe it's called Claudio Quizzaro. That's why I did
it. It is
Latin flair.
Yes, you are correct. Before we get started with our quiz today, I just want to bring to light the Open Sports app.
Yes.
I used it this week. It's very easy to use. You log onto the app. You find a game of whatever sport you want that's happening in your area.
It's football. Good old footy.
That is correct. And you just go and show up and play.
Yeah. Meet new people. It's great. You can provide feedback.
Absolutely.
This guy scored a goal, but I've yet to see the feedback.
Yeah, I want the feedback. I want the proof.
I want to see what the other people have to say.
So the Open Sports app, if you're not on it, you should use it. And hope to see you on some pickup games of soccer soon.
All right, let's get this quiz on. I'm tired of losing points.
All right, here we go. So Bernie versus Alex, question number one. Given the Manchester derby today, what are the combined totals of the Manchester squads? Is it A, 700 million euros? B, 1 billion euros? Bernie, please.
B, 1 billion euros.
Well, that is correct.
Got him.
How do you know that?
Currency exchange.
This guy studied economics, not fair.
All right, Alex, you got to pull up your socks, buddy. All right.
I'm wearing ankle socks.
Oh, dear. All right, number four. A similar question, but the combined totals of the Barcelona and Real Madrid teams.
Right.
All right. Is it A, 750 million euros? B, 1 billion euros? Yes, Bernie?
A, 750.
Wrong. That is incorrect.
Come on,
completely
mate.
Wrong. Alex.
What's the third option?
1.5 billion euros.
That was easy.
Yes, Alex.
1 billion.
Wrong again. Oh. Shambles. We'll throw this question out. There was three choices and they were both wrong. Terrible. Okay, moving on then. Score is still Bernie 1, Alex 0.
I'm in the lead, bro.
Not for long.
Catch up, Alex.
Bats. Alright, so what is the head-to-head record for Guardiola versus Mourinho in terms of wins?
You know, I don't even need multiple choice on this one.
That's for Guardiola wins, specifically.
Bernie. I don't care. I know it.
Bernie, please.
9 for Guardiola.
That is incorrect.
What is...
No!
Alex,
8.
That is correct.
Get in, son!
What?! That is a shambles.
That is true.
The commentator today said 8-3 before the game. Commentator's rules usurp.
Bernie, take it to the court of arbitration.
We will have to see this at the... Yeah, we will fact check this, but I'm pretty sure it's 8.
All right.
Do you guys want one more question?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is going to be a slightly more tough one. Mm. Mourinho's teams managed. I'm going to name 5, and you're going to pick the one that he did not manage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Here we go with the teams for Jose Mourinho. Benfica, Sporting Lisbon, Chelsea, Inter. Oh, here we go.
Bernie is dancing.
Bernie, you ready?
Sporting!
You are correct.
Got it!
Got it.
Alex was very generous to let me have that one.
Well, you know, you equalized where your team couldn't.
Alright, so the score is 2-2 right now?
Right in my chest.
Is that it? Do we have any...
We have one more.
Oh, a decider.
We have more questions.
Really?
Yes. So the score is 2-2. Can you guys, and we're going to go across the pond, list me the last 5 winners of the MLS Cup? This is a 2-point question.
No, I can't.
Bernie?
Okay, so the winners last time out... Oh my god, I can't remember who else was there. Hold on. Do I have to start from which order?
Well, just the last 5.
Okay, any order.
So, in any order?
In any order.
LA Galaxy 1-2. Sporting Kansas City. They've got one of them.
That's 3. You got 2
That's
more.
That's 3.
If I remember some, can I chime in?
Real Salt Lake.
Wrong.
Ooh. Roche, can I chime in?
Alex, please, give it your best effort.
Dallas.
Wrong.
Oh, Portland Timbers.
Yes, that's 4 for Bernie.
So it's Portland Timbers, LA Galaxy 2, Sporting KC 1. Oh my god.
You know what, this is a 2-point question, but I'll give Bernie 1 point. LA Galaxy actually won it 3 times.
Oh.
So you did name all the teams.
Right? Yep, alright, my point's good. I win this round, then we can move on.
3-2 to Bernie.
Did Bernie just win this week?
If you want another question to see if you can tie
it
up.
No, we're done. I won.
Alright, there we go.
From the possibly greatest quiz in the world to definitely the best league in the world.
Hey,
entertainment value-wise.
You think so?
No,
entertainment
not really.
Value. Well, we got some good entertainment today.
It's the best soap opera in the world. We'll give it that.
Yes, and soap operas are not usually good.
No, that's true. This one, on the other hand, was pretty good. Manchester United 1, Manchester City 2, and I don't know, I thought that this would be a slightly closer game than it turned out to be. What did you feel like, as two United fans, watching your team get royally destroyed in the first half?
It was awful watching us get... If I forget the first half, the first 30 minutes were an absolute joke as far as Manchester United were concerned. Man City were dominating the ball, moving the ball around. They had all the time in the world. They played brilliantly. But, you know, that's what we thought was going to happen. I just thought United were going to have more penetration going the other way.
Mm.
But they did not come close to that, and it was shocking.
I think, you know, all the goals were in the first half, which was a bit unfortunate, because there were chances throughout the 90 minutes. And I think that, you know, City did start stronger, as you said, but towards the end of the first half, there were some chances for United. And, you know, Zlatan was pot-shotting everything, and he could have scored more than one goal today.
Well, if you look at the game, De Bruyne got the first one. I believe it was De Bruyne, right?
Like, he got the
first one. And he intercepted. Well, Ian Acho won a header against Bailly, which I didn't expect to happen.
No.
Blind hesitated. He nipped it ahead of Blind. Beautiful finish, by the way.
It was
to fool De Gea.
Carpet.
Absolutely beautiful finish. Loved that.
It was ironic, though, because City spent the first half an hour, 40 minutes, popping the ball around like nobody's business. I mean, the football they played in that period was on a completely different level to anything we've seen, even from them.
Absolutely.
Previously this season.
I think it was expected to some extent, because we know that Guardiola teams are passing teams.
No, absolutely, but the speed at which he has implemented that at City is quite incredible.
That was very impressive to me. I do believe that United were so bad that it actually played into allowed City to do a lot of those things. And one of the reasons is Jesse Lingard was absolutely horrible on that side. And for United to actually win this game, they needed width. Oh, we talked about this last week. You need width. You need power and you need pace. Lingard and Mkhitaryan kept coming inside, not offering that width, and they were not countering, and they were losing the ball all the time.
No, and
not because
again,
City made them lose the ball, they did it on their own.
And once again, to be fair, with pace, you have Wayne Rooney playing as your number 10. We're not going to get that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So this was actually something I wanted to ask you about in terms of the lineup, especially because You've got Rooney there. You've got Lingard, who's quite quick, but not the quickest. Mkhitaryan, similar. Quick, but not, you know, Martial, Rashford. And you're playing in a game in which you're likely to be under the cosh.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Thank you. Now, which means that you're going to play on the break.
Yes.
And if that's the case, is Zlatan the guy? I know you want him in the big games, but if you're playing on the break, that's not the guy to do it.
See, it's you don't need Zlatan to be that guy to generally play on the break. Mm. If you want to use Zlatan in that type of formation, then I think what Rishi and I talked about last week you have to do is actually start with both Rashford and Martial.
Why?
Zlatan will come, hold on to the ball, and they run off him the same way they used to do at PSG with Di Maria and Lucas.
Right.
And he can pass that ball in, they go in and to try and score or lay it back. That's why if Rooney's playing there, it doesn't matter what happens if you have the runners. But in this case, you had Mkhitaryan coming inside, Lingard just doing absolutely nothing, and it was an absolute tactical disgrace from Jose Mourinho, yeah. And that's why the first half was so bad.
And I think he was very clear in his post-match press conference to say that some of his players who started were not up to par, and there were two substitutions at halftime.
Oh, he, in his post-match press conference, he rinsed Mkhitaryan and Lingard.
Without
not,
naming
not
them.
Not by name, but he was just like, you know, sometimes players surprise you.
Yeah.
I picked players that didn't give me what I wanted. And, like, he just looked and sounded so disappointed. And it was funny because it was in direct contrast to Guardiola, who was asked about Bravo's error for Zlatan's mm-hmm. goal, which was an amazing finish, by mm-hmm. the way. And Guardiola just defended Bravo to the hilt.
Not, well, he said that Bravo had the best performance he'd ever seen.
One of the best performances, yeah, for
and that, that's that he's pulling a little bit of an Arsene Wenger.
Sure, to yeah, me, yeah.
You know, supporting his player for no reason. But on that note, what concerns me about Jose is his stubbornness to not play. Is that the police?
Someone chiming in for the quiz.
Ah,
too late. A bit of a late answer.
It's his stubbornness to not play Rashford from the start. Mm. I don't understand it, and I know that we've been talking about this, but he came on against Hull, changed the game. He scored a hat-trick on his debut from under-21s for England. He came on in this game and changed the game, because the first 20 minutes of the second half, United were actually on top and should have scored.
A disallowed goal for offside.
This disallowed goal was fair, but I feel like United actually had more attacking impetus in the beginning of the second half, and City were a bit... You could see Guardiola, he actually freaked out and removed Iheanacho
mm-hmm.
for Fernando, because he saw what was going on and had to change it.
Yeah.
But that leads me to my next question, which is that why did... Okay, so City dominated pretty much from the word go for the first half, mm-hmm. right? Apart from the United
goal. First 30 minutes, yeah.
Well, 30, I think it was a bit more City. Than that. But, right, so why did it take Mourinho until half-time to make the change? Because it wasn't even just personnel. He mm-hmm. made a very clear tactical change in that mm-hmm. he pushed Fellaini and Pogba forward. He pressed the City back line so that they couldn't play out from the back, forcing Bravo to hit the long balls, and United are a much taller team, and so they won a lot of those balls. So, but if he's watching City dominate for that long, why did he wait till half-time?
To your point, when he did make that change, that was when United scored.
Yeah.
And that was when the last 5 minutes of that half, they could have scored even more. Because if you notice, Zlatan missed a gilt-edged chance,
yes,
which
did.
You would never have thought he would have missed, which makes it 2-2 and changes the game in the second half. And we may be talking about a completely different thing.
As it was, the game changed at halftime because of the Zlatan goal right before halftime. But yeah, to Alex, to add on to your point, the first 20 minutes of the second half, United had a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Were not able to convert on their chances. However, the last 20-25 minutes of the game, there were no chances from United. City could have scored one or two on the breakaway.
City could have scored one or two. The thing is, Zlatan did have a couple pot shots in that period.
Yes, he did.
And it became this... What you wouldn't expect from these two managers. It literally became two teams not defending, didn't give a damn. They just kept going end to end. And whether things were going on or not, it was just helter-skelter, which I never expect from a Mourinho-Guardiola game.
To be fair, I think City defended very well. The John Stones' outstanding performance.
Forget Stones. John Stones. I wasn't impressed by him.
He made
a couple of mistakes that could have cost them because Zlatan picked on him. Otamendi,
that's it.
If you look at his statistics, interceptions, 100%. Tackles, 100%. Hit pass completion, 91%. He had an outstanding game. And he got bloody head for that as well.
Kolarov lost a tooth.
Yeah.
During the derby.
It's true.
They fought. They fought for it.
But not only that, and towards the end of the game, you know when you said it wasn't what you expect from the two managers? I agree, because in the last 5-10 minutes, Pep went to five at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Fernando and Fernandinho are basically auxiliary central defenders, and they were both brilliant. Fernandinho today was unbelievable. In fact, him, De Bruyne, and Silva I mean, they were superb.
They're always like that, to be fair.
That's true.
Well,
Silva and De Bruyne,
they forgot who they were.
Well, Pellegrini just, like, throwing the towel in.
On that, you're saying Fernando was amazing in the part. Paul Pogba was trash. Absolute trash.
I think we spoke about this too today.
We messaged about this multiple times, yelled about it. Paul Pogba, I forgot he was playing, and he's huge.
Yeah.
For me to forget Paul Pogba was on the pitch is unbelievable. He's gigantic. He needs to, and I get it, it's quote-unquote new team, though he's Pogba back home or something. But if the Manchester United are going to win this league or win anything, they have the players to do it, but they need players to stand up and be counted. And that's what De Bruyne did for City, Fernandinho did for City, and David Silva as well. You need Paul Pogba to step up. And control the middle of the game.
Absolutely. There was a lack of character from Pogba. He did not control the game, that's one. But when he did get the ball, I saw him beat a couple of players. Sometimes get fouled and win a free kick. But that's what he was doing today. He was not influential in the middle of the park.
Just to play devil's advocate and to stick up for Paul Pogba, did any United player really have a very good performance? I think that United players today suffered because of the tactical mistakes and the imbalance in the two systems.
I'll tell you something I said earlier, and this is hilarious to me. In the first half, United's best attacking player was Wayne Rooney. That's a problem.
That is a massive problem.
That's a huge problem.
That's actually a problem. He had the best pass completion. He actually created a couple assists. But it's not, I'm not talking about a sparkling performance by any means. And that's why it was worrying to me that with Mkhitaryan, Pogba, Zlatan, if you want to say Lingard, whatever, and Rooney was the best on that pitch, that's warning signs if I've ever seen it in my life.
I think Fellaini was very good, even though he didn't have many chances. I think he was very good today. He was the better of the two central midfielders between him and Pogba.
He got a bit more work done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, all in all, Guardiola got his tactics right.
Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely right. Spot on. And Mourinho, for once, who you wouldn't say usually does this, got it spectacularly wrong.
Yeah. And admitted as much after the game.
Yeah, also, we're being a bit harsh. I think that there was a bit of character shown in a bit of a fight-back attempt. So it didn't look so bad towards the end of the game.
It could have been a draw if Zlatan wasn't such a...
Yeah. Also could have been worse. Yes. But anyway, so that's probably enough on that game. Just to say on City, they've got Gladbach in midweek in the Champions League. Shouldn't be a problem, right?
No, 5-0.
Okay.
6-7.
Wow. This is Gladbach, not like...
Glad, going to be Gladbach. Like glad to get back home after...
Very good. All right. Next up, we have got Arsenal 2, Southampton 1. Whereas United City was full of incident, this game was very much not full of incident.
It was full of stupidity for a lot of it.
It's a scrappy game.
I couldn't understand how poor Arsenal were to start this game. I was shocked.
Do you want me to explain it to you?
Yes, please. Alex. Okay.
So in terms of the Arsenal starting lineup, Wenger rested Alexis, he rested Xhaka, and who else? I don't know. Alexis, Xhaka, Giroud didn't start still, because there's Champions League in midweek, right? And they've got PSG, big game. So up front, you've got Walcott on the right, on the right. In the middle, Lucas Perez, new signing. On the left, hang on, we'll get there. And on the left, Oxlade-Chamberlain. Now, and obviously Ozil in the number 10 position. Right. There's no, in that front four, apart from Ozil, there was no creative ownership there.
I thought you were going to say there was no brains.
Well, right. No, that's kind of what I'm talking about. There's no creative ownership. Like, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott are not going to take a situation and say, I am the authority here. I'm going to create something.
Right.
A situation.
They're waiting for things to happen.
Right.
No, yeah, of course. But I also think that, you know, you're starting Lucas Perez. It's his first game ever in an Arsenal shirt. You can't expect him to just take the lead on everything,
absolutely not.
I think I was surprised that Lucas Perez started this game, because Giroud hasn't played very much, if at all. I think he's played like a couple of minutes, in the last game. And we know that he's not apparently match fit. But in order to get him match fit, he needs to play. So my assumption is, I get you have this game against PSG, but you need to start playing this guy to get him into fitness.
Yeah.
Put him on the pitch. Let him play against Southampton. I don't understand. Lucas Perez is his first game. Why put that pressure on him to start? I just don't get it.
Well, I guess he had a full preseason. I don't know. We could loan Giroud to Bournemouth for a game or two. But anyway.
So Southampton, obviously, like, we're a good team. Yeah, but unfortunate to be on the bad end of the result once again at a big team, at a big club.
So they were unfortunate in a couple of ways. I mean, they were fortunate to take the lead. Tadic free kick hit check on the back of the head, which is always fun.
They were forced to take the lead, but again, in the run of play, I think they deserved it.
It was a good free kick, to be fair.
It was. Tadic is actually one of the... I think he's underrated when it comes to...
Well, Mohamed will say he really likes Tadic.
There you go.
Until he gets signed for a club that he doesn't like.
Yeah. And then he'll completely ignore him and act like he's been trashed his whole life.
Exactly.
That's true.
Shout out to Mohamed.
Yeah.
There was nothing lucky, however, about Arsenal's equaliser. Koscielny with that bicycle kick.
My God.
Wow.
Bernie, your reaction was you didn't know he had it in his locker.
I mean, the thing is, I know he likes to show us those, like, kippy-uppy things, like, just to show that he's good with the ball, but that was different level.
I just still don't understand how he found himself in such a large pocket of space.
That's a good question.
In the penalty box. You saw two Southampton players running at him together to try and stop him from doing that, but... Why were there two players running at him, and why was he open that much?
Complete side note, I was going to talk about poor defending, then I thought about Jose Font, and then I thought about when the commentator said that Arsenal were in for Jose Font, but they thought he was going to Manchester United. I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. what do you mean? If you want the guy, you approach him and say, hey, you know, we want to sign you. You go ask for money. You don't say, oh, we think Manchester United are in for you, so we don't want you.
This is the exact mental game that Manchester United played before they played Southampton. They were linked to Jose Font we're going to buy Jose Font for the week, we're going to play Southampton. Now Arsenal are saying the same thing, and everyone's trying to get in Jose Font's head.
You know, the transfer window's done. No one's buying Jose Font.
I don't think you'll buy him in January.
That was the logic that, I forget who the commentator was, but he used that. I thought that was odd.
That is odd. Anyway, Arsenal brought on Alexis eventually, brought on Giroud eventually, brought on Iwobi. And they started to look a lot better. In the last 20 minutes, they started to actually threaten Southampton's goal a bit and got a penalty in what was basically injury
the
time.
The 94th minute.
Deserved, I think.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Giroud was hauled down.
He was.
So you can't really complain about that. Yeah. Unless you're Shane Long, who apparently was fouled. But if you're Shane Long, you should have scored before that.
Yeah, he had a great chance.
He deserved anything that he got at that point.
I want to say one thing about Santi Cazorla taking these penalties in the last minute.
Mm.
Ever since he missed that one against West Brom away, in the last minute.
You think he's going to miss, don't you?
Yeah, it's just a bad feeling. But he's always taking them.
And he did well today. I actually, whenever someone lines up a penalty against Fraser Forster, I think he's going to miss. Because Forster's just like 9 foot tall.
If Forster just stood there, right, and just put his hands out,
yes,
it would make it incredibly difficult to score the penalty.
Or stuck a leg out, to be fair.
Yeah, he could just do a starfish and see what happens.
It's true.
Yeah, he could.
Just quickly on Southampton, Puel keeps sticking with this diamond thing. And I'm really not sure that it's working, because it requires you to play two strikers, and they barely got one. Like, they started with Rodriguez up front,
mm-hmm,
and Redmond, who isn't a striker. And then you've signed Bufal, who's a winger, so, like, presumably at some point he's going to go to a system with wingers, no?
I don't believe that. I don't think Puel knows what he's doing
I think Southampton have been, you know, on the receiving end of some dodgy results. They could have had... They've played a lot better than the table suggests. That's okay. All I'm saying.
But before I move on from this game, one thing that's spectacularly interesting about Claude Puel is he was playing at Monaco when Wenger was the manager, right? And he didn't believe that Wenger was playing him enough. And so Wenger at this point would participate in training. So he decided to clatter Wenger, knocked him over on his back.
Kind of like Colo Touré.
Exactly. Yeah. The next game he started.
I think we found out what Wenger likes.
Yeah. Apparently. Amazing.
Wow.
All right. You know what Liverpool said after the Leicester game?
What is that?
That didn't work out.
That was easy.
There you go.
There's an art to pressing that button.
Apparently. No, yeah, I don't have it. Liverpool 4, Leicester 1. The champions got manhandled.
Liverpool looked very good today. What else can we say, really?
I love that Liverpool... Lot. I mean, the goals they scored were fantastic. Every single goal was a beautiful...
Lallana's goal was...
But then they just show you just enough of their defensive stupidity to make you believe that it's all smoke and mirrors. Because all their four goals were fantastic. Lallana's, to me, that rifle that he scored at the end, like, was fantastic. But I think it was Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was messing up with Mignolet.
He's not a defender. I don't know what he was doing there.
Like, come on. They need to stop this. Like, they need to sign a actual defenders yes. instead of nonsense.
No, there was a funny moment, actually, like, not long after that, because the centre-back split, and then Lucas is playing in defensive midfield, so he drops back to get to receive the ball, right?
Is that what Klopp thinks he's doing? Like,
I don't know.
Pep Guardiola or Xabi Alonso?
I don't know. But then they tried it again, like, 10 minutes later, and Adam Lallana was like, stop it. Just kicks the bloody ball. It was quite funny. Like, when Lallana's telling you to stop doing something tactically, then you need to start being a bit worried.
Yes.
But Liverpool going forward were just immense.
Yeah,
Sturridge started.
Firmino was a great player. And I think that's something that's interesting to watch is how Liverpool created their chances. Because Leicester played a high line and a lot of through balls breaking the offside trap from Liverpool today. They could have had 5 or 6. They were good.
Yes, they really... You're right. They played a very high line, and which is something that Leicester usually expose with other teams. But Liverpool just tore that high line apart. And Ranieri has to think about a couple things now because, you know, they have the Champions League. They're not doing too well in the Premier League. I'm not saying they're not going to get relegated. Forget that. But, you know, if you want to have some respectability after winning the league, they got to fix this.
They should really have kept Kante. I mean, they should have done a better job at that.
There was nothing they could
quite possibly. That's the difference in their midfield right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what I have noted down is that without Kante, with him, they didn't get outnumbered in a 4-4-2.
Yes.
Without him, they're being outnumbered. And so
you
maybe
might need to reject the formation.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially because they're not getting the best out of Musa in a 4-4-2 either.
Well, to be fair, Vardy is also a bit cold. I mean, his goal today was a gift, but he also had some good chances in the second half, which he blasted straight at Mignolet, for example, 1-on-1.
Yeah. He just needs to score more goals than Lucas Perez for the season to be a success.
True. All right. Next up, another 4-goal haul. Spurs, 4. Away to Stoke. Which is supposed to be a hard place to go, but it's not, is it?
Alex, please tell us about your love for this result.
The sun rises in the east.
Ah, very good. And in Stoke. I don't know. Yes, rises in the east,
right?
Sets in the west.
Yeah, and he's from the far east.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Stoke on Trent or Son on Trent?
Wow. Son on Trend. There you
no,
go.
No, enough of this.
Okay, let's move on.
We're going deep into this.
Anyway, last time Spurs played Stoke away, they won 4-1, and we were in a pub in Barcelona watching it.
Yes, we were. I could have sworn it was 4-0, however.
The nostalgia is kicking in.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, so yes, Son started, which was a bit of a surprise, because Lamella's been good this season, and they just bought Sissoko, who also plays in that position. But he was on the bench.
Sissoko plays wherever Sissoko wants.
Yeah,
first off.
True. Yeah, that's true. So Son scored 2 fantastic goals and ruined it slightly by doing a dab.
I thought that was cool.
Well, that says more about you than
I think Dele Alli made that look cool.
It helps.
I mean, the dab was cool 6 months ago. I don't like it now.
I'm still trying to do the dab myself.
Well, give us one. That's
fine. Can our viewers see?
No.
No,
which is exactly why.
But they can sense it. Oh, that was actually the best dab yet.
We're going to get a video of this. And put
it. You know what Dele Alli does? Like a double dab. It's like a 2-tap.
Sure.
Watch it for the next goal.
Roche is actually watching the highlights of the
this
dab.
This is unbelievable.
I was more interested in the dab.
Okay.
False. Just kidding.
Good. The other thing I wanted to say about this and why it delights me so much is because I hate Mark Hughes and Stoke, and they are bottom of the league with 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
They can't win a game. And, Mark Hughes is an angry man, right? And the manager sets... Tim Vickery always says this. The manager sets the emotional tone for the team.
Yeah.
And so when you get sent off like an idiot, like 30 minutes into the game, you know, if you lose your shit, so does your team. And they did.
Yeah, that team is a joke right now. So I think Mark Hughes knows. I believe Mark Hughes' time will be up in a month. And
yep.
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Steve Bruce is going to manage this.
I don't know who's worse. I mean, those are ticking time bombs, both of them. Mark Hughes will be sacked. Steve Bruce will be sacked. I mean,
he's already sacked while on holiday.
The Premier League's favorite grandmother, Steve Bruce.
I have a scenario to propose to you, right? West Brom sack Pulis, it's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And then Stoke get close to being relegated, so they hire Pulis to save them from relegation.
And then Arsenal go to play Stoke and lose because they can't beat Tony Pulis.
And Arsenal lose the league in March.
why did we have to take it to Arsenal?
I'm sorry, you're an
I'm just trying
fan.
To take...
We're picking on you because Mohan is not here.
All right. Two very quick things. One is, at one point the commentator said, Boney is struggling to make up the ground, and I thought that sounded about right.
Wow.
The other thing is, my dad sent me a text saying... At 1-0 to Spurs, saying Stoke aren't out of it yet.
Wow, I see where you get it from, Alex.
I was very very impressed by that. That's actually better than everything Alex said in the intro. Which I
we got to do the dab.
No, we don't. Let's dab over to West Ham 2, Watford 4. This was game of the day, this, possibly.
Yes. If we thought the Manchester derby was exciting, this game, if you check the score in the first half and the second half, you got a totally different, you got two different games.
Well, in the first half, Stephen Bilic was in. Second half, Stephen Bilic out.
Yeah. Was trending. This encapsulated everything about the Premier League.
Yeah, it's nonsensical nature. Firstly, okay, Mikel Antonio scores a header.
Two headers.
Yeah, the first one where I'm like...
Oh, but his goal celebration. You saw his goal celebration.
It was like a worm thing.
It was a dance floor move. I was laughing.
I think it's called the worm.
It's called the worm. I haven't seen it since mid-90s.
I haven't seen it since WWE SmackDown in the mid-90s. But, so, the second goal was... I almost ripped my shirt. See? So, Payet, he's on the right side. Mm. He's, you know, jinking the defender.
Working his way in.
He can't really find enough space, so he decides to Rabona cross the ball for Mikel Antonio to score.
At the far post.
And I wanted to just streak down from the house, but I would be killed.
Yeah, you know what, Bernie? It wasn't even you. The commentator, as soon as that Rabona was hit, the commentator says, oh, ho, ho, he's starting to laugh. And then the header goes in, and the commentator is already like, he's like, I've been defeated.
The funniest thing about this goal to me was that Antonio starts celebrating, like, on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly realizes that everyone else is congratulating Payet, and is like, oh, maybe I should go over there.
Yeah, that's really where he should have gone, because he just received the Rabona cross, buddy.
On one hand, Payet started the season very slow. Today he had two assists for Antonio, one of the corner, and then the Rabona, which were great. And then, I don't know what he did for the rest of the game. I think he faded.
Well, West Ham faded.
They faded into that gap, between the pitch and the fans. Unbelievable. Yes. They got lost in all the
green. The running
They track. Were crap. But, what's their name? Watford.
Wow.
What? What?
Well, let me say it like I'm on it. Watford.
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 They were unbelievable. The goalie Gallo scored. Yeah, nice deflection, but still good goal.
Yeah.
Troy Bathtub Deeney. Yeah. Rinsed those guys.
It was... That chip was reminiscent of, like, Letizier or Cantona. Like, it was that good.
It was. Unfortunately, we have to put him in the sentence, but it was that good.
However, complete howler from James Collins and Adrian. I almost said Aldair. Complete rubbish goal, to be fair, before the finish. Because it was just a big lump upfield. The ball bounces, doesn't go anywhere. Collins is jogging towards it. Adrian's not doing anything. They're about to, like, run into each other. And the ball just bobbles.
For him to pick out that spot, though, and redeem what would have been a really terrible-looking situation from Troy Deeney? Listen, if I gave you $30 and said Troy Deeney was going to do that...
No.
You'd bet against me.
Well, why did no one follow the ball and try and get in Troy Deeney's face? Okay. He somehow found himself in 10 yards of space.
You're not trying to get in that ugly face. Like, forget
that's
that.
True.
He is kind of big, too.
But, Rochet, you brought up something that is close to my heart, because every week I watch West Ham... And I think, how is James Collins still in this team? Or, how is he in the Premiership still? He's awful.
He scored against Arsenal on the opening day.
I don't care who he scored against. The guy
was a hell of a finish.
He cannot defend.
He can't defend. They couldn't defend. Because, I mean, the goal that, what's his name? Capu.
Yes.
Capu. Etienne Capu scored. It was unbelievable.
Sick.
Unbelievably preventable. Yeah. Like, this is what I hate about West Ham this season. It's just stop it.
Essentially, this game went from 2-0 in like the 34th minute to 2-2 at halftime. And this game was 4-2 to Watford by the 63rd minute.
Yes.
It was a complete seesaw.
But what's weirder about this is that Watford, last time they played against Arsenal, were trash. They were horrendous. So, like, are these two of the league's least predictable teams?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of volatility, yeah.
All right. We're going to run through the other results very quickly. Middlesbrough 1, Palace 2. Yeah, Benteke opens his account.
Good for him.
Yep.
Complete shite defending from Kevin Friend.
Yes.
For Middlesbrough.
Yes, it was. Burnley 1, Hull 1, which is we will consider later in the season a relegation six-pointer, Clive.
Quick note.
Cheers, Jeff.
Robert Snodgrass, good one, by the way. Snodgrass once again scoring.
What a hit. Yeah. He got a hat-trick for Scotland in...
Fantasy team.
Yeah.
He started the season on fire.
Do it absolutely. Now, fantasy team.
That grass is on fire.
There's snot in that grass.
Wow, sorry.
Bournemouth 1, West Bromwich Albion 0. I said I wouldn't talk about...
Your football is shit.
That's what the fans are saying.
Tony Pulis, your football is shit.
Like they finally realised.
Yes. But what a goal from Callum Wilson.
Yeah. Yes, it was. He actually had a shambolic miss in the first half. But amazing finish in the second half.
Yep.
It was. Tony Pulis is a Moomoo, and so let's go to Moomoo of the Week.
Happy Moomoo. One thing we are no sha, Moomoo no fit sleep forever. One day, Moomoo go wake up.
All right, so we're back with Moomoo of the Week, where we round up a week's worth of idiots, fools, and morons. Moomoo is Nigerian Pidgin English for idiot, fool, or moron. And this week, we're going to start with Liverpool. And I'm a bit harsh on Liverpool. Well, a lot harsh.
Yeah, you are, generally. Liverpool,
but I'll be nice today. No, I won't. So, the actually, I will, because the Moomoo is holler.
Holler!
So, holler, as they're called, are Liverpool's new timekeeper. Their new timekeeper.
Timekeeper.
It's like they're a brand of watches.
Yeah. Timekeeping.
Local UK brand of watches.
Partner.
Yeah, timekeeping partner. So, while other people have people like, you know,
Rolex.
Hermes and Rolex and Bulova and stuff, they have holler. But holler decided to celebrate this new sponsorship agreement by chastising Liverpool on Twitter. And how did they do this? They said, the last time that Liverpool won the league, Marcus Rashford was 6, and his father was 10.
No. Oh, wait. It was last time Liverpool won the league, his dad was 10. When Arsenal won the league, Rashford was 6.
I mean, they have to delete the tweet, obviously.
Yeah.
The guy in charge of social media account was likely fired. Maybe it's Benteke's guy.
What if he was a United fan?
I mean, that would be beautiful if that was the case.
But,
I mean, then would he be a Moomoo?
Yes.
He's a hero for me, but a Moomoo in general.
Yeah, that would be Moomoo-ish. All right, Rashid, what you got?
Second Moomoo is David Luiz, not the first time. I mean, it's David Luiz, like, it's not rocket scientist. Anyway, so David Luiz just signed for Chelsea for the 14th time. And in a standard press conference, gave a shockingly amazing interview where he said, you know, I think Chelsea has the squad to win the Champions League this season. The Champions League, Chelsea. So he was promptly reminded that Chelsea finished 10th and are not in Europe.
Is he the Moomoo or is his agent? Because someone lied to him.
Well, he just wasn't paying attention.
It would help if he read the headlines when he was signing for Chelsea. I mean, what's he signing? Does he know?
I'm sure the contract says Chelsea finished 10th in the Premier League. Yeah. Want to sign David Luiz. He just didn't read the fine print.
Can he read or write, or does he just put his thumbprint on the document?
He's actually a very well educated boy.
I doubt that, Alex.
No, it's true.
No, he's been Moomoo 10 times.
Okay. The next and final Moomoo is actually the former FA chairman Greg Dyke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. Because the new FA chairman, Greg Clark. Do they hire people that aren't called Greg?
Quite possibly. Yeah.
Greg Clark. You remember when Greg Dyke came up with this whole like countdown to 2022 and England are going to win the World Cup by 2022?
Yes.
Right.
Christ.
So Greg Clark comes out and he called the countdown clock a joke and daft. And he said, these things are a joke. I like a few jokes. I like a good laugh. So I'll go up to St. George's Park and have a good laugh at the clock. Which I think is great. And right. You know, it just reminds us how Moomoo Greg Dyke was for this clock in the first place.
I mean, this is what Moomoo of the Week is all about.
Yeah.
And Greg Clark is celebrating that in its true form.
Maybe something tells me he's not going to be on there the last time.
Oh, Greg Clark?
Yeah.
Or Greg Dyke?
Both. Well, Clark, the new one.
Greg and Greg.
Let's just call it the FA.
Yeah.
They'll be back.
I'll be Moomoo.
And it's time for Europe now. A smattering of the top games from around Europe that took place on Saturday, because we had to pod on Saturday this week. So, you know, there might be some good stuff tomorrow.
Don't look at me like that, Alex! This is not my fault!
No, it's not.
It's because of Brexit.
We can blame everything on Brexit.
Yeah,
sure.
We really can, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Juve 3, Sassuolo 1. I'm sure Sassuolo also blamed us on Brexit.
Not a surprising result, but what's surprising?
Sorry to cut you off. We're from Moomoo to Hero, so the hero is Gonzalo!
Higuain!
There we go.
But, surprisingly, not a...
Did you lose a
try? Brain fart there. I was going to say, not a surprising result for Sassuolo, but surprising that Khedira did not get on the score sheet for Juventus.
Well, because he didn't play.
So if he played, he would have scored.
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you, Alex.
Is Khedira the best striker in Europe?
Khedira for Ballon d'Or.
But you know who might be is Gonzalo Higuain, who finally started a game because he's been on the bench.
Was he still fat?
He scored a very acrobatic goal today.
He did, actually. He got himself off the ground.
Yeah, huge volley. It was.
I'm sorry, when he said huge ball, I just thought of this huge mass.
The angle of his legs when he hit that ball was akin to Ibrahimovic's finish today.
I thought you were going to give me some math angles and
perpendicular.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, he got two. That was excellent. Dybala got one. Juve look great, and they host Sevilla in the Champions League. That is going to be epic.
Why? Why?
Because Sevilla don't defend, just attack, right. And Juve do everything,
Everyone knows that Juve has already won Serie A this season, so...
Yeah,
I'm going to say that every week.
See, here's the thing, you've already said, every week that Juve are going to win Serie A, but you've also said every week that Sevilla are going to crash out third in their group to win the Europa League. So these are two teams that have their seasons figured out already.
Yes.
Here's a team that usually has their season figured out already, PSG.
Uh-huh.
Because, we can take it as read that they won Ligue 1.
Uh-huh.
But can we? Uh-huh. Because they lost last week 3-1 to Monaco.
Yes.
And they drew this week 1-1 with Saint-Étienne.
You know what's happening, Bernie?
What's happening?
Now that Unai Emery is at PSG, he's made them Sevilla League form. And he's going to make PSG crash out of the Champions League and win the UEFA Cup. Europa League.
This is just sad for me personally because I championed Unai Emery like...
You did.
This happens. I think every time I champion someone, just clear the room.
Like Soldado?
Leave me alone.
You should really pick your next target.
Leave me alone. Don't bring up Soldado in my presence ever again.
It's a position of power, Bernie. You have to use it wisely.
You know, Roche, I think you're great.
You know what, Bernie?
Roche is not scared.
That is a red card.
Okay. Will Emery get the red card? Like, how many of these results will
he will get sacked and Steve Bruce will take over?
No. David Moyes might end up playing for them.
He needs to win a game for Sunderland first. A team that finally won a game after having not done so for the first couple of weeks of the season. Atletico Madrid 4, Celta Vigo 0. They are back with a bang.
How many did they score?
4.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. I zoned out for a second. Yeah. Great performance. Funny enough, Griezmann was linked with a move away from Atleti, and he said he's not going anywhere as long as Simeone is there.
Yes, he did. Well, the thing is, there were some weird rumors, because they've started the season so badly. Mm-hmm. Griezmann, for example, said, if we keep playing like this, we'll be relegated. Mm-hmm. And there were just rumors that Simeone had kind of had enough and was going to leave early. But, I don't know. It's probably nonsense.
They'll come third.
Yeah.
I want to make a comment about their goals today. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is just totally subjective, by the way. But maybe the camera angle of the Atletico Madrid stadium is off. Because the way they score their goals, it always looks so soft and it doesn't look like a nice, beautiful goal. You know what I mean?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, I tried.
The finishes were not pretty.
I'm not sure that has anything to do with the camera angle.
That's just how I feel about Atletico's goals. Good team, though.
Okay. I think you should press start on FIFA and then change the camera angle. And then you tell me what happens.
Yes.
Can I just make a quick tactical point about Atleti?
No, Alex, you may not. Yes, you may.
Bernie?
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll book this.
Of course you may.
Okay. They usually play 4-4-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
He switched to a 4-3-3.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, Griezmann, Torres, and who was on the right? Carrasco. Yeah. And it finally allowed Koke and Saul to play in central midfield. Because
mm-hmm.
when they play 4-4-2, they always get those guys playing on the left and the right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're central midfielders.
I feel like he should always play a 4-3-3.
Yes.
Because... we're not going to get into this philosophical argument about whether Griezmann's a striker or not. I don't want to do that because that would be an entire podcast on its own.
Yes, it would.
But Griezmann scored two-headed goals again.
Leave me alone.
He scores so many headers.
For a short man...
This is my point. I just want to quickly ask you guys, who else in the history of football has been tiny and really good at heading?
How tall is Wayne Rooney?
Nah, he doesn't count.
Because he's a big blob?
How about... Yeah. Was Robbie Fowler ever good at heads?
Michael Owen was very good at his head.
True. Yeah. Alexis is better than he should be.
Alexis doesn't count either. He's muscular as hell. No, he does not count. I think Michael Owen is the only one I can think of. All right. That makes sense.
Well, if anyone can think of any more, tweet them to us. @_thecosh. What else we got? Real Madrid 5, Osasuna 2. Ronaldo makes his comeback.
Ronaldo scores.
Yeah. And scores.
Bale assists for that. Yeah, no, Real Madrid were up 5-0. And promptly went into reverse because...
they've had enough fun for one night.
I don't understand why they couldn't hang on to the clean sheet. Osasuna came back into this game and they should have had 3 goals instead of 2.
Yeah. It was actually really funny. So it's 5-1, I think, at this point. And Osasuna, one of their players, sorry, don't know the name, clean throw on goal, gets taken down...
by the goalie.
And there is an advantage to be played, and in that advantage, they score.
He just finishes it, yeah.
But the referee blew for the penalty before the guy put the ball in the net.
Corruption.
Which was so stupid. And they go on to have the penalty saved by Kiko Casilla.
Wow. Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
It was.
Hold on a second. Sorry, you said Diego Casilla.
Yeah.
Where's Keylor Navas?
I don't know.
Probably being rested for Champions League.
Yeah, maybe.
But the looping header for the second official goal for Osasuna today.
Official goal.
It was with the back of his head, and it looped into the far corner. It was a beautiful header.
He thinks he's Chicharito?
It was better than Chicharito's goal.
How dare you?
It actually was.
All right.
Have to see it.
It was excellent. Yeah. Barcelona, meanwhile, lost 2-1 to Alavés.
Wow.
At the Camp Nou.
At the Camp Nou.
That's a disgrace if you've ever seen one.
Bernie, you enjoyed it.
I mean, I always enjoy when Barcelona lose. And this goes back to me being absolutely jealous of Barcelona. So every time they lose, I have a party in my head. But Neymar, well, Messi didn't start, but that should be no reason. There's no reason to lose Alaves if you play with La Masia, as far as I'm concerned. But they were shambolic, Barcelona. They missed so many chances. It made no sense. Well, Alaves were so efficient and effective in front of goal.
I think there's a bit of discipline that's lacking from Barcelona. Mm. Every time they don't perform up to par, you can tell. There's always something that's off in their position, their passing, their finishing. And it was there today.
Well, you're right about that. But the thing about Barcelona that we've noticed over the years is they don't have squad depth, which they kind of were supposed to address with all the signings that they made this summer. But you know, you don't have Messi in the team. You don't have... No. I don't think Iniesta played this game.
No, Iniesta didn't play.
They never needed
Suarez it. Suarez didn't play. And then you can see, like, ooh, they're beatable. That should not be the case against Alaves.
But to be fair, they never needed that squad depth because their starting 11 was healthy for those 3-4 seasons of absolute dominance.
Yeah, the medical record was remarkable. But still, yeah, I mean, you know, Alcacer started, Arda started, there was no PK, so Mathieu played.
And Mathieu scored.
And Mathieu scored.
And then Mathieu missed when he should
have scored. Yes. And then was at fault for one of the goals. So, I mean, yeah, they rested a bunch of players. But my question is, if they rested them for the Champions League, they're playing Celtic. You could have rested players against Celtic.
You could have switched the teams. Play your strongest team against Alaves, because I think Alaves would beat the hell out of Celtic, who beat Rangers 5-1. Richey brought that up.
Yes, they did.
And that's sad, because I'm a Rangers fan when it comes to Scotland.
Why?
Because I hate Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, fair.
You know what? We might see a backlash, and Barcelona might beat Celtic 6-1, like they did a couple of seasons ago.
If we said Man City are going to beat Gladbach 5-0, this might be 9.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers is going to have his ass handed to
him. It'd be great to see Rodgers being put in his place.
Last couple games. Let's go to the Bundesliga, where Rasenballsport Leipzig beat Dortmund 1-0.
That was a rubbish goal. I love it.
But I'm sad about Dortmund. I actually thought that they might win the title this season, because they made some brilliant signs.
No, you did not.
I did.
No, you did not.
Yes.
No, Alex, you could not actually tell me you thought that was possible.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, anyway. I think he wanted it.
Well, they made some brilliant signings. They weren't that bad last season. Thomas Tuchel's a great coach. And I thought, you know, maybe Bayern might take a year off once in a while.
If there's one league outside of Serie A that we already know the outcome with, it's Bayern Munich winning the Bundesliga.
Yes, it is.
Because they now have Ancelotti.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Which takes me to the final game of this smattering of European top games.
Yes.
Which is Bayern 2, Schalke 0. And this was actually really close. Bayern, it took them 81 minutes to score the first
Bayern.
Goal.
Bayern!
So wow. You should explain that.
Oh, have we not explained that?
I don't know if we have.
So when we were in Europe and we watched Hertha Berlin against Bayern Munich, for some reason, the fans were actually mixed up together.
Mm.
And there was a Bayern Munich fan behind us who was going, Bayern, the whole game. And we were too scared to look back and see who he was.
Repeatedly, yes.
He was a foghorn.
Yeah, he was. It was impressive.
Anyway, but yeah, so Bayern took 81 minutes to score the first goal. Lewandowski with a brilliant finish.
As usual.
Kimmich got the second. But
that was a stunning counterattack.
Yeah, oh. Kimmich was quick. I didn't realize how quick he is.
Didn't notice it either.
I have to say, the first goal that Lewandowski scored, it came out of the back. I believe it was Javi Martinez, actually, running the ball out of defense, running through to midfielders, and then just a brilliant through pass to Lewandowski, who was one-on-one.
Javi Martinez. He's brilliant.
He's quality.
Brilliant.
But just a quick note on Schalke. I looked at the lineup and realized that they had Stambouli and Bentaleb as the base of their midfield, which is a Pochettino reject pairing.
Wow.
Yeah. But I spoke to Susie Schaff, the Bayern fan we follow on Twitter, and she actually said that those two, along with Goretzka, who plays just in front of them, were actually brilliant. So there you go.
Well, who would have thought?
Yeah, not me. I mean, Bentaleb, you can kind of see it, but Stambouli, like,
Stambouli? I never thought that. Wasn't he at PSG?
Yeah.
Wow.
But he never played.
Wow.
Obviously. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's that for that. Let's have a quick break, and then we'll talk about Toronto FC, and we got a question from Twitter.
So, we're going to stay local. Toronto FC, our favorite team.
TFC.
Toronto, because that's the only TFC. TFC. By the way, the TFC, the Red Patch Boys, are better at chanting than Arsenal.
Oh,
I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty good.
They do well, yeah.
So they're in Chicago, playing against Chicago Fire. They went 2-0 up. Jozy Altidore scored 33rd minute. He's been on fire.
Jozy Altidore has been scoring for, he's probably on a 10-game streak. He's probably equaled Vardy's goal streak from last season.
I actually think it's something, maybe 6 or 7. He's been very, very good. And the quality of goals he scored as well in that patch have been spectacular.
There's been one in particular that I'm thinking about right now.
One against Philadelphia.
The Rocket.
Oh my God.
It went into orbit.
It was beautiful. And he took that form into the U.S. men's national team.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just found his confidence again, and Toronto FC are going to need that because we can make a push if those two, him and Giovinco, obviously are clicking.
Well, Giovinco's actually out today. He's not even playing. So you've got Tosin Ricketts up front with Altidore. And Ricketts is actually on form too.
Played
well for Canada when he came on.
Exactly.
And with this win, they could be in first place?
Yes, they will go first place if they win this game. Jonathan Osorio got the second one, but they quickly conceded a goal to Chicago. So the 20 minutes to go in this game, we'll monitor it, we'll be on Twitter trying to see what happened in the game.
By the time you hear this, you probably know the result.
Yeah.
But I just want to quickly talk about Jonathan Osorio and Johnson, who are like the mainstay in central midfield for Toronto FC. Both Canadian, neither of them got called up to the Canadian national team.
Shambles.
That didn't end up qualifying for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume we can hope that Benito Floro, the Canada manager, will be sacked now.
I hope he's sacked and Steve Bruce takes
over. I would take that. Steve Bruce, the Premier League's best grandmother, is actually a good candidate.
Like actually, there are actually some Steve Bruce caliber players that are Canadian, like Junior Hoylett. Like, I'm just saying, this is very possible at this point.
You know what? I laughed, but it's sounding less and less far-fetched. But
I'll take him.
Yeah, I was just trying to think about who else there is to appoint. I'm like, Ziggy Schmidt, maybe?
If you're Steve Bruce, right, you can just go to Vancouver.
Bernie's actually still talking about Steve Bruce.
Hang out for a bit. You don't do anything. Watch Premier League on TV if you want.
That's probably what he does, because, you know,
he can do that. That's not a bad gig at all.
Oh, I've got a suggestion.
What?
Bruce Grobler.
Yeah?
Nah, I don't think it's
personality. Well, he's going to bring that goalkeeper of his.
Yes.
I can't remember.
Martin De Bellis.
That's right. And that might make the difference.
I can't see it happening.
Well, I'm going
to... I love Grobler, but I just...
I'm going to tell Bruce you said that, and you're going to be in trouble, mate.
Yeah. Or maybe Solano.
Yeah, if he doesn't like it, I'll
thank
buy him a pint.
Thank you so much.
All right. Finally, we're going to end with a question we got from Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Which is from Stee, the executive content marketing manager executive at the Final Third podcast.
Uh-huh.
Good friend of ours.
Pretty important guy.
Written some articles for us.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. But the question he asked today was, what is your position on the Dublin bus strike? So I'm going to get. I actually prepared an answer, but I'm going to give you two the chance to answer this.
Do you want to start with this one, or should I?
I'll quickly start. What? And moving on.
Okay, so here's how I feel about this.
Mm.
Jose Mourinho today could have parked his buses.
Yeah.
He usually gets his buses, I'm assuming, from Dublin. But there was a bus strike, so he couldn't get the buses over to park it so that he could win this game against Pep Guardiola.
You what, mate?
Frankly, for being completely off the cuff, I really like that answer. I was just going to say, that was a fantastic strike. But I think they'll be disappointed by that. So I'm just going to say, I did a little bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
It looks as though the pay for the bus drivers has been frozen since 2008.
Mm-hmm. They haven't been paid since 2008?
No. Like, there's been no increases.
Oh, I see.
And if you think about the amount of inflation that's gone on since then, that is a long time to not have any kind of...
Oh, yeah, they should definitely have some inflation.
Can I make a proposal?
Go on.
If the final third apologize for their apology about Giovinco, then you know what? That strike is going to end.
Wow.
Because we're going to lobby for it.
I think the strike's actually already over. It was only 48 hours.
Wow, okay. Enough of that.
See, this is why you let me get through my research.
Sorry, Alex.
It's okay.
Research.
Yeah, anyway. There was an article in the Irish Times by some bloke called Cliff Taylor who suggested that the Irish state might be bankrupt if they actually pay these people what they want, which is 8.5 2.5% over 3 years. And I'm just thinking, like, if that's going to bankrupt you, you've probably screwed up something along the way.
I don't think it's that. It's a combination of that and the fact that Apple has to pay $14 billion in taxes now.
Well, they should. I think this is the greatest tangent in Under the Cosh history, and we probably need to get the hell out of here after it.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, anyway, that's our position on the bus, right? We're with the bus drivers.
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, I am.
I ride the bus, so I like them.
That'll do, lads. See you next week.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.